Funding for the Think Podcast comes from TCU, where researchers strive to develop sustainable solutions to protect the world's fresh water supply. You can learn more at endeavors.tcu.edu. Support for the Think Podcast comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering courses in art, literature, film, history, and languages, as well as professional certificates and test preparation. You can register online now for the upcoming fall programs at smu.edu/CAPE.
Wander through the children's section of most bookstores, and you'll find picture books of kids having all kinds of adventures, exploring castles, having sleepovers, setting up detective agencies, or just navigating the slings and arrows of early friendships. That is, they're doing all those things if they're white. If you're seeking a children's book with a person of Asian descent as the primary character, chances are that book is about, well, Asian culture or heritage. From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd. Jerry Zhang brought those books home for his daughter Madison, and they were not bad books. But what Madison loved best were stories about girls like her, spunky, feisty heroines starring in their own adventures. And those books didn't feature Chinese-American girls doing those things. So Jerry Zhang decided to create one. He's an attorney and father of two daughters, 4-year-old Madison and her little sister Everly. His new book for children is called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire. He joins us from the studios of NPR in New York to talk about it. Jerry, welcome to Think.
Great being here.
Before Madison was old enough to have a say in the matter, what kinds of books did you choose for her home library? Did you want to read to her?
We chose all the classics, you know, like Where the Wild Things Are, Madeline. And, you know, we would go to the library so often, and she would love all the books that we would get, especially the books that had really strong and vibrant characters, where the stories were very interesting. You know, the pictures are, very bright, very interesting story, good plot. And those are the books that we tended to, you know, read to her. And we actually, you know, my wife worked at a charter school network at the time, and she actually consulted with, you know, one of the, specialists in children's literature at the time about books that she recommended. So we did get almost an expert's list of what books we should be reading to Madison at the time. And surprisingly, not a lot of books, those books had Asian children as the main character.
It's a funny coincidence because we don't get pitched a lot of kids' books for the show because it's just not what we do. But the same week I was looking at your book, another one came in, and it's called The Chinese Emperor's New Clothes. It's about a 9-year-old Chinese emperor, beautifully illustrated. But one of the characters in it is the agriculture minister. And I've never met a preschooler who requested, you know, at bedtime to hear about Qin Dynasty bureaucrats.
Right.
Is that what you were up against when you were looking for books that had kids who looked like Madison?
Absolutely. And the books we did find that had Asian children in them were very, as you mentioned, very cultural in nature. They're almost like a lesson plan about the Chinese New Year, about, you know, mooncakes, or about Chinese cuisine, or about Chinese language. And, you know, those books are great, and there's a space for them. And we definitely read those books to Madison. But, you know, there is an extent to which a child will say, I want to read the book about Chinatown again. Because there is a physical Chinatown that, you know, we take her to and she can experience outside of the book. And it wasn't, it wasn't anything kind of like the world that Max from Where the Wild Things Are ended up. So that's kind of where it led to that moment where, you know, I was trying to, you know, incorporate these books during bedtime because she would always request the same books with the same characters that were interesting. And, you know, hey, Madison, why don't we read the book about Chinatown again, or why don't we read this book about mooncakes again? And, you know, when you push a preschool or a toddler at the time too much, they push back in equal force, if not more. And she blurted out, I don't want to be Chinese. I don't want to read the book about Chinese. You know, and so that's kind of the moment that made me really think about how I can actually make a book that I wasn't finding because, you know, I, as a father, when she said those words, kind of my own background, my own childhood came flushing through my eyes, and I kind of saw that all that projected in her. And at the time, she was only 3. So it was really, you know, to me, it was really a monumental moment, even though I'm sure she said those words out of frustration. You know, I was projecting a lot of the feelings that I had growing up, and I kind of saw that in her, and even at the young age of 3, that she's going through kind of these emotions now was really, kind of devastating for me.
Yeah. So are you second generation Chinese American, first generation? How far back does your family go in the United States?
Oh, I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 5.
Okay.
And yeah.
So what kind of books did you want to read when you got here and wanted to be an American kid who had, Chinese heritage?
Really, the book that stuck out in my mind was, Where the Wild Things Are. I always saw it in the bookstores. I always saw it in the libraries we'd go to. And I would always gravitate to those books where, the child was essentially, this had a really great imagination, did really amazing things. And I grew up in a pretty diverse area in Brooklyn. And even though that's where I grew up, I still felt left out in the sense that everything that I saw that was aspirational, the characters didn't look like me. For example, in the books, or even to take it a step further, when I was an adolescent, watching the TV shows, at the time, Saved by the Bell was the show that everybody watched around that age. And I wanted to be Zach Morris, the Power Rangers. I wanted to be, the Red Ranger and then the Green Ranger, two kind of male protagonists who were both, non-Asian. Kind of those things rubbed off on me. I wanted to, to be like those guys, but I didn't look like them. And they were so cool, but, they didn't look like me. So it was a real struggle in my mind. And I went through a period in my life where I kind of rejected my Chinese heritage. I didn't want to be associated with the Chinese kids because, to me, they represented the other. They didn't represent the mainstream accepted people that, I was seeing all around me.
There have been calls in recent years from a diverse group of communities for better representation in children's literature. And this sort of speaks to what we were edging toward just now. But what does that term representation mean to you as a Chinese American and now a Chinese American father?
It's really interesting when I think about it because it begs the question of what is an American, because effectively a Chinese American is an American also. And a lot of the books and media that we see that incorporate, diverse characters, even though they may be dash American, they're always kind of portrayed in a non-American sense, meaning the books are about a Chinese kid or a Chinese person in China or, in this ancient sphere that's not America. So for me, it's really more about seeing characters who are simply American that look that are Asian or they come from different backgrounds, but they're still American kids. They still do fun, interesting things outside of their culture. We're not all necessarily defined by our culture. When you see somebody on the street, maybe a lot of the times you think, of their culture first, but in this country, we'd like to think, that's a person first, and we get to meet them. They have a personality, and they have thoughts and dreams and interests beyond that, the fact that they're from China or India or whatever country they're actually ethnically from. And so that was really kind of where I was trying to go with the book, is to just have a book with an interesting story with a character who's spunky and vibrant and talented, and she just so happens to be Asian. And it shouldn't be a book about her Asianness.
So Pepper Zhang, the character that you created for this book, she's funny and spunky and certainly has a mind of her own. She's not perfect. She is not above throwing a tantrum when she doesn't things don't go her way. Did you also feel like you needed to push back a little bit against the what's been called the model minority myth about Asians?
Absolutely. And then, my daughter who inspired Pepper Zhang, my oldest daughter Madison, is very much a strong-willed and talented and interesting, as a father, obviously, I have all these adjectives, positive adjectives I want to attach to her. But there is also the kind of idea that Asian women are, generally the stereotype goes that they are meek, they're quiet, they're passive, they're not very outspoken and not strong-willed, like a lotus flower, all these kind of tropes. And I wanted to create a character that was inspired by a real person that I know who's of Asian descent and who's not like that. And so it's not so much as I had a agenda to push with Pepper Zhang. It was more so that I was inspired to create this character because my daughter is this really interesting, strong-willed girl. And she does interesting, fun things that I think other children would find enjoyable in the form of a character that they read in a book.
So when you decided to try writing your own story, so that it wouldn't cost you anything, you were going to go and crowdsource for funding. What was your pitch to people who might pitch a few bucks your way to help you write and publish this book?
So yeah, initially it was really going to be a personal project. I was going to write this book anyway, and if I was not able to actually make it into a book, it would just be a story that I would read to Madison. My parents actually came up with their own stories for me to read, or not read, but just tell, you know, verbally when I was a child. And so that was the initial idea. But then as I started telling more people about this, you know, idea that I had, they're telling me to really explore Kickstarter. You know, I can actually make this book into a real book, a physical book that other parents like myself would find, would actually want to purchase, because there is, you know, a lack in the market for these types of books. And so, you know, I explored it. The biggest hurdle to me with the illustrated children's book is that while I can write the story, I'm not an illustrator, and that's usually kind of the big barrier between somebody that wants to write a children's book and somebody that does, is to find that artist that is willing to do it. And so, you know, lo and behold, you know, I was telling all my friends that I was doing this and that I was looking for somebody that may be interested in working with me to create these illustrations. I'm not going to be able to necessarily pay them up front, but if they were interested in, you know, the idea or the mission or the concept behind it, that, you know, there may be some financial benefit if we do raise the money on Kickstarter. And so one of my friends recommended someone he knew who was recently out of school, and she was an artist and a tattoo artist, or aspiring tattoo artist, and she's Filipino-American. And she was really interested in the concept, and she agreed. And from her, it was, you know, there was two aspects to why this was struck with her, was that, you know, as an Asian American, she agreed with kind of where I was coming from, but she also liked the idea that Pepper Zhang was an artist because, you know, she has an art background and she wants to see more art, you know, being encouraged among children. And so that's why she was bought in. And so we essentially created this book over the course of, I think, I want to say 6 to 8 months, meeting just after work and just collaborating on pages. And to get back to your question, my pitch, I created a Kickstarter page, and essentially I told my story, you know, that Madison had these feelings at the time, and that there was this lack in the market for these books. And this is really just a personal story that I had of to why I was, you know, writing this book. And really what I love about crowdfunding is that I'm not trying to, you know, push this on anybody. It's not really that much of a, you know, anger at the market that these books don't exist. It's really, if you feel the same way as me and you think this book is interesting, you like Pepper Zhang character, then you can support in making this book happen, and which is what happened. So I'm very fortunate that so many people did reach out with their own stories. They emailed me independently to say that, you know, they had similar feelings growing up in the U.S. They didn't really have any characters that they aspired to be or kind of admired as children and also as adults. And so it was really ran personal to a lot of our backers.
So the response was much greater than what you thought. I hope if I can really do this, I might get $5,000, which is enough to cover the cost of producing whatever it was, 1,000 copies of the book.
Exactly. I just wanted to make the book viable and just have a copy and a few copies maybe to give to friends and family. And I figured this was probably the extent to where this was going.
But that's not the extent. You heard from very many people.
I did. You know, what's funny was that, you know, we hit our goal after the first week, which is great because friends and family obviously supported in the beginning and they shared it with their friends and family. And so we were really happy to hit the goal. But then we had, I think, about 25 days left to the campaign to raise more money. So we were excited. And, you know, a few media outlets picked us up after that. And then it just snowballed from there.
My guest is author Jerry Zhang. He's a lawyer to support his family, but he wrote a children's book called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire, to give his daughters a character they could relate to as Asian Americans. They are Chinese American. We're talking this hour about the importance of representation in media. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, we have lines open now. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can send us a message on Twitter at KERAThink, or you can email think@kera.org.
Thank you. Support for the Think Podcast comes from the SMU Doctor of Liberal Studies program, a customizable evening doctoral program where you can distinguish yourself personally and professionally. More at smu.edu/DLS.
This is Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with Jerry Zhang, who wrote a children's book called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire, to give his daughters a character they could relate to. As it turned out, a lot of other parents had been looking for a similar book. In this case, the story is not so much about Pepper Zhang's ethnicity as about who she is as a person. We're talking this hour about the importance of representation in media with Jerry Zhang. And if you'd like to join us, you can call 1-800-933-5372. I was thinking, Jerry, about stories that feature animal characters and how they can be helpful for people who are looking for a character that is doesn't necessarily look like their child, but doesn't also default to white. My son, who is a teenager, has a friend who is African-American, and they had a lively discussion over, whether Arthur's family is, if you know the PBS series, is black or white or something else. Did you and your wife ever find stories about animals, removed the barrier and the sense that this was a story about kids who weren't like your kids?
Yeah, the idea of incorporating animals into children's stories is an interesting one. I've been thinking about it these days. And for example, the Arthur example you used, Arthur's family could be from any background. It's really about the characters, right? And that's really what I was trying to convey with Pepper Zhang. But what's funny is that I think it's all, as cute as the animals are and these characters are. They're so far removed from reality. And I think, children, while we want to keep them in this bubble of cuteness and insulate them from reality as much as possible, I think it's important that they actually see real people in books. These aardvarks don't actually exist in human form in reality.
Right.
And at some point, they're going to realize that's not real. And, those are just fictionalized characters. But, Arthur doesn't have to be an animal, and I think it may be more interesting to have just a more variety of human characters in children's books, and maybe move a little bit away from the unicorns, the dragons, and all those animals. And there's a space, and I think a subgenre for those. But I feel like it may be a little bit of a cop out to avoid this topic to have these characters in kind of an animal form.
Yeah.
Why not just make them and a specific background.
Your book and this project that you undertook made me think about the book The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I've read that book.
Okay. So the little boy in it has adventures all throughout the snow. He happens to be African-American. And this it certainly is a classic. It's a book that anybody can relate to, if you can imagine being out on a snowy day and just sort of exploring the world. So often we've just assumed that we had to default and by we, I guess I mean the broader American culture, to white characters doing all these things. But I think kids don't throw up those things. It's like the adults who are controlling things that have made those rules for them. Kids don't say, well, why does that kid look different than I do? They just enjoy it, which is to say we can have a character like Pepper Zhang who kids of any background can relate to.
Absolutely. And, that was part of the story I told through the Kickstarter campaign, is that though this book was inspired by, providing this option with an Asian American child as a character, it's not just for the Asian American community. I think the broader community in general, any child of any background would enjoy the story, period. Or hopefully they enjoy the story and they like Pepper as a character and they like her personality. And then, I've done a book reading recently at a school, local elementary school, with kids from all different backgrounds. And there are a lot of kids who, were inspired by the art in the book, or, kids were really interested in, Pepper having the tantrum because it related to them not wanting to go to bed, which is why Pepper had the tantrum. And so they weren't fixated on the fact that she was Asian American, but they were inspired by other aspects. And the students that did see that, she was Asian American, they were excited that she had the same last name as they did. And so I think it worked on multiple fronts, and I was glad to see kind of the variety of positive feedback that the kids gave me.
So big publishers have been notoriously reluctant to print a lot of books with non-white characters for children, arguing that minority communities don't buy a lot of books. It doesn't seem to square with the demand that you've seen for your book, Pepper Zhang. If it's true that these books haven't sold well, I wonder if it's maybe because white people won't buy books with non-white lead characters for children.
You know, I've read those statistics and I've read that opinion about what, you know, the publishers are thinking, and I'm not sure. I think, you know, as our country has evolved into a more heterogeneous looking population, I think the publishers, and, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. They are a business. They're in the business of selling books. And I think their history is that they had a specific audience that looked a specific way that purchased these books. And even though the audience has changed, I think they are, you know, loath to kind of make a shift. And who knows if what they're saying is true, that minorities don't purchase these books, because they are in charge in a way. They are the gatekeepers to who has access to these books. You know, they sell it to the big book retailers. Right. And so they have, it's like a catch-22. They have to produce these books, and they haven't done a lot of these books like Pepper Zhang, where it's not cultural. So they haven't done it to test their claim that minorities won't buy these books. And so in effect, they're perpetuating this truth that, you know, minorities don't buy these books. And so I think, you know, as a business, they are probably going to stick to their traditional business model of selling books to the mainstream or the majority population, because, you know, as human beings, we do like to see people that look like us in media. And I think they feel that this is a safer bet because they have stakeholders and they have to, you know, obviously make their sales numbers, and to take a big risk on certain books may not be in their best financial interest in their mind. So that's why I think with indie authors and with Kickstarter, we don't have to go through the traditional publishing method to get the books out there. And I think crowdfunding is a great way to kind of even out the competition to provide these books, so that, you know, parents do have options. And I think, and I hope that bookstores, big chain bookstores, will start carrying more indie authors, because it does create a barrier when a lot of these bookstores will only purchase from major distributors that work with these publishers.
All right, I want to go to the phones now. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. First up is Judy in San Antonio. Hi, Judy.
Hi there.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
Well, I'm a Chinese-Canadian, and I didn't have the same experience growing up, and I don't know whether it's just the culture, the multicultural kind of society is different, and I never questioned, you know, who I was reading. I never questioned that anything could apply to me. But I can understand the feeling and wanting to have that for your kids, and your kids, you know, having some sort of representation. But from my perspective, I was really excited to find out whether or not you were going to be making this story not just for, you know, Chinese American kids, but, you know, any kids, so that they can sort of have the feeling that we did of, you know, I don't have to read just about Chinese kids. I don't have to read just about white kids that are just like me, that grew up in a place just like me. Because to me, books are about finding out about things that I don't know, that that I don't experience.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, to respond to what Judy said, Pepper Zhang was meant to be a book about this really interesting character. And you know, I wanted the book, and I hope to make it a series, and that's really character driven, so that, again, you know, there's nothing specific in this book in your face that says, you know, Pepper Zhang is Asian American, but she's normal. It's just, you know, she's doing just imaginative, talented things, like being an artist in this book. And I think, as I mentioned, when I did the book reading, a lot of children really, the piece about her being an artist really resonated with these children. And so that was really a you know, that had nothing to do with their background, but I did want the character herself to be Asian American.
All right, back to the phones now. This time we will speak with Pat in Arlington. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you? I love your show.
Thank you.
This is my first time calling in. I'm a 62-year-old retired, successful African American. And listening to your story, I have to tell you, it brought me to tears. I'm tearful right now because I grew up watching I love Lucy, Carol Burnett. Nothing, no representation for African Americans. And I was an avid reader, read everything I could get my hands on, but there was no representation. And so now, at the age of 62, it crosses my mind, even though I was successful in the corporate America, how much more successful I could have been or may have been if I had had representation or more role models. And my question for the author is, what impact do you see this has had on your daughter?
Pat, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you so much. And in terms of the impact this has had on my daughter, she's very proud of Pepper Zhang. I've been, you know, obviously worked with her in, you know, showing her every step I've done to write the story. And because, you know, I was funding this through Kickstarter and I really had no limits to what I could do with the book, there's a part in the book where it featured Pepper's room and it had all of her art on the wall. And I actually incorporated a lot of Madison's actual art in the book and then added it to the wall, Pepper's wall. And I actually solicited pieces of art from our backers, their children that they want to have incorporated into Pepper's wall, Pepper's gallery. So their actual art pieces from real children in Pepper's room in the book, which I thought was a good way to just interact with the parents and the audience itself, and also incorporate Madison that she can look back and see her own work on Pepper's wall.
What sort of editor was Madison as your work progressed? Did she weigh in and say, change this, I like that, more of this?
No, she wasn't that much of a stickler for detail. She just really loved seeing Pepper wear her favorite white dress at the time, which she, unfortunately to us, wore every single day of the week. So it was a white dress, which later became off-white. But, you know, Pepper has that dress, and Madison was really, really happy to see that on Pepper.
My guest is Jerry Zhang. He wrote a children's book called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire, to give his daughters a character they could relate to as Chinese Americans. We're talking this hour about the importance of representation of all kinds of people in media. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372. You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd. I have to ask you, Jerry, you earn your living as an attorney. Is writing a kid's book harder than it seems at the outset?
It is hard because though the book is short and the amount of text is lean, every word does matter. And obviously you want to also conceptualize, you know, as somebody who's putting the book together, I'm not just the author. I'm also, I guess, the editor and part artist because I have to visualize. I like to visualize what the pages will look like when I work with Trisha, my illustrator, for the book. And so that was challenging, but it was challenging in a different way, in a way that was, I would say, more fulfilling than the day-to-day work a lawyer does. You know, I'm not a practicing lawyer. I do work for Corporation Legal Education. And, you know, doing a children's book is almost like play. You know, it was, didn't feel like work. I taught my, you know, I went to YouTube. I taught myself some crucial Photoshop skills that I needed. And, you know, the hours just kind of melted away as I was plucking away at the Pepper Zhang kind of layouts in Photoshop. And so that part was, I mean, the entire part was very rewarding.
All right, I want to go back to the phones now. This time we have Bill calling from Fort Worth. Hi, Bill.
Hi. My lady friend and I teamed up to co-author a children's book that involves a boy and a girl and actually two senior citizens, man and a woman, and that's what we are. We're retirees on a limited budget. And it just happens that my co-author adopted a biracial girl, and she has a number of biracial grandchildren. Anyway, the bottom line is we were wrestling with what would the illustrations look like for these two children in the book. And I'd like any advice you might have on that that would appeal to everybody. But also, we're stuck for where we get it illustrated. You know, we're both on limited budgets, and your idea of Kickstarter was interesting, but I'm open to any suggestions you might have for us.
Yeah, in terms of my suggestion for what the kids would look like, I would just base it on reality. You know, I'll get to the part about what I suggest for finding an illustrator, but you know, I wouldn't have a preconceived notion of what the biracial child should look like. I would just, you know, if you have perfect examples of what biracial children look like in your life. And so if you find an illustrator, tell the illustrator, you know, send them pictures of your grandchildren and, you know, say, you know, try to make this character look as much like these children and go from there. Because I think when, you know, when authors or illustrators have start having preconceived notions, then you get into the space where, you know, is this character looking a little bit too, you know, a certain way, a little bit too stereotypical? And I think it's best to just ground into reality, which is what I did with Pepper Zhang and inspired by Madison. And in terms of my suggestions for finding an illustrator, I'm not sure how savvy you are with social media. It's almost necessary these days to be familiar with that because there's just so many independent artists out there looking for work straight out of art school or currently in art school and maybe even in high school. You know, if you just join Facebook groups with artists and just post your idea and see if anybody is interested, that would be my recommendation for, you know, finding somebody who may be willing to do this on a lower budget or even maybe for free.
How do you expose your kids and help them explore their Chinese American identity? Is that something that just happens because you are Chinese American yourself? Is it something that you and your wife make an effort to really incorporate into the things you do with them?
You know, we almost have to make an effort. We live in New York City, which is very diverse, so it's a lot easier for us than I'm sure for some, you know, parents who don't live in as much of a diverse area. So we do have to incorporate it because, you know, they watch movies or in school, you know, pizza is always the, you know, go-to snack or chicken fingers or macaroni and cheese, pasta. And, you know, they won't necessarily be familiar with flavors of Chinese food or certain customs unless we expose it to them. But when we expose it to them, they only spend a fraction of their time during the day with us. And so obviously most of the impact that will appear in their lives will be, you know, from what they see in school and what they see in media. So we're trying to find a good balance between not being too pushy, like what I did with the Chinatown books, and just, you know, naturally expose it to them. You know, I, you know, bought her a few traditional Chinese dresses that she can wear for Chinese New Year, and we put it in her closet and just let her find it and see if she wants to wear it. She doesn't always want to wear it. She doesn't always want to wear it necessarily during Chinese New Year. So, but luckily, you know, occasionally she'll just come out of her room wearing it, and we'll be happy that she did this, just that.
My guest is Jerry Zhang, who wrote a children's book called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire. We're talking this hour about the importance of representation in media. If you would like to join our conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372 or find us on Twitter at KER8Think.
Support for the Think Podcast comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, a customizable evening master's program for working professionals. You can apply now for the fall of 2017. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with Jerry Zhang, author of a book called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire. It's a children's picture book that he wrote to give his own daughters a character they could relate to as Chinese Americans. We're talking this hour about the importance of representation of all cultures in media. If you'd like to join us, call 1-800-933-5372. You know, so often, Jerry, if there is a book that features child characters of particular cultures that are anything other than white, they get siloed into these like special sections of the library or the bookstore, which I think are maybe put in place with good intentions to help people find it when they're looking for something other than a white default. But what they say, they reinforce the idea that white is the default.
Yeah, and, you know, I find a kind of corollary to that in the supermarket. You know, you see the ethnic aisle with the condiments. They're just condiments, you know. The soy sauce can be next to the barbecue sauce and ketchup. So I think, you know, again, like you mentioned, maybe they're good intentions to direct people to specific books that they're looking for, but that's what librarians are for. You know, you can just ask the librarian, where can I find this specific author or where can I find books with these themes? And I'm sure the librarian can pull from their resources and direct you to them, regardless of whether or not there is a specific section for those books. And I think, you know, not having the barriers like a specific section lends to more of discovery that, you know, you may be a white parent or a white child looking through books, and you might come across Pepper Zhang or Snowy Day and really love that book, which is great, you know.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak to, I think it's Therona in Carrollton. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a couple of comments and then a question. I'm Asian American myself, and I'm from like the generation of the 50s. And so during that time, you know, this was post-war, being, you know, part Japanese, you know, wasn't, you know, the optimal ethnic in terms of, you know, general public. But I went to a very diverse elementary school, but still there was nothing in the literature. And it took me, you know, probably, you know, 40 years to meet a children's librarian. So I'm glad you brought up librarian, who introduced me to some literature, you know, children's lit that addressed, you know, Asian Americans. I don't know if you're familiar with Grace Lin in terms of the Chinese, but, you know, she's got a really good series. And so what, I guess the additional comment is, by you being on shows like this, you kind of can generate, you took the initiative to respond to, you know, your child's comments, and, you know, really brought something out really dynamic. So I want to, you know, thank you for that, because, you know, my parents, you know, they certainly loaded me with books, but, you know, didn't have the tools, you know, the time to, you know, address such a specific, you know, kind of gap that, you know, as a child, your daughter, I couldn't, you know, say to my parents, you know, even at 15, what I wanted. So.
Well, Therona, thank you so much for your call. And I wonder if there's anything there, Jerry, that you want to pick up on and respond to.
Yeah, no, thank you, Therona. And, you know, I think we do live in a great time right now where the internet and obviously these crowdfunding mechanisms can let any parent. I'm not any special parent. I never written a Chinese children's book, excuse me, or created any books before this book. And I was able to do this. And I think hopefully, if anything, this inspires more parents to put forth their child's a story inspired by their child and make it into reality. Because when we have more books like these out there available for parents, I think that's only a good thing. Nobody's pushing any books on anybody. It's just providing more options for parents. And I think the more options we have, the better, you know, our society can push forward the culture.
Have you heard from publishers who are interested in picking up maybe the next edition or the next set of adventures that you might want to write about Pepper?
I have not. I've heard from a few initially, but they kind of just, you know, nothing came about it. And I do think that, you know, they're still looking at the bottom line. They're trying to see what comes about from this. I think there's a larger conversation now about media and how, you know, more Asian actors are going to be started being incorporated into movies, shows, what to do with that. And I think, you know, they're not that quick to move. You know, I had this one book, it's getting some attention, but I don't think the publishing industry is going to turn on a dime now
right.
And, you know, start creating all these books and put in Pepper Zhang next to Harry Potter on the shelves.
So what kinds of choices do you make for your daughters when it comes to TV shows and movies? The first time I heard the term symbolic annihilation in college in a sociology class, a professor was talking about the fact that back then in the 1980s, you know, Asian Americans were essentially symbolically annihilated from representation on screen. And they're there now, but they're very often not the lead character in things. And certainly, to my knowledge, not the lead character in a lot of things made for children.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing to navigate these days because media surrounds us, and, you know, we model for our children when we are looking at our phone. Now, a lot of children now, including my 4-year-old Madison, who's 4 years old now, she knows how to use my iPhone, and she knows how to click on YouTube, and she knows how to pull up, you know, a video or a cartoon, and it's inescapable. So, in terms of editing what they do see, you know, we try to focus more on shows that have good values, and you know, obviously the options for what the character looks like are limited. But, you know, we have to start from a point where, you know, does the show have good values? Good. Okay, you can watch this. Is the show kind of, you know, a lot of these shows, I'm finding a lot of these movies also recently that are being put out, I'm finding that the content is more geared toward the adults. The kids aren't going to understand the jokes in, you know, I'm going to put a name out of the movie, Boss Baby. Half the jokes there are funny. I laugh at them. But Madison has no idea what that joke is and why it's funny. And so, you know, those kind of things, you know, they're out there and everybody wants to watch them. But, you know, is it the best for a four-year-old? I'm not so sure. So we try as much as we can. But, you know, we're fighting kind of a losing battle against media and its pervasiveness.
Do you feel like you've come to terms with your own identity as a Chinese American and an immigrant? I mean, was there a point at which you thought, okay, I am comfortable in my own skin and in the place I occupy in this society that doesn't necessarily look at me as an individual in some cases, but looks at me based on my physical appearance?
I'm starting to. You know, I really pushed back against that. I wanted to be part of the larger white culture when I was in high school. But when in college, I started visiting China more often. I saw their, you know, a whole country of people that looked like me, and they did different roles, and there are movie screens that were in all kung fu, and, you know, they had their own dramas, and, you know, so that made me more comfortable. And so now I'm in a position where I think, you know, hopefully my story inspires more Asian Americans to kind of delve into the arts and go out into the spotlight. You know, I know people like myself, coming from my background, that, you know, we're not always prepped or taught as children to put ourselves out there in the spotlight, to be on media outlets like NPR, or to be in front of a camera, to be in arts or to be a writer. You know, a lot of, and I don't want to generalize, but based on personal experience, a lot of the people I know from Asian backgrounds, you know, they're groomed from a young age to go into more traditional and safe, quote-unquote, corporate environment settings where, you know, you're the attorney, and that's kind of where I fell into up until I started doing this book, and other fields like finance. And not many are kind of taught to explore the arts and to maybe for it to be okay to fail. And so as a parent now, I want to, you know, encourage whatever Madison finds interesting and to just let her know that, and I have another daughter, Everly, and I want to leave her out. And I probably need to write another book inspired by her, or else there's going to be some sort of those feelings when she gets older. Just to let them know that, you know, they are open to exploring things that they have an interest in, that I don't have a necessarily any expectations for them of what they do in their lives, and that it's okay to try again and until you find what you really love to do. And so, you know, I just encourage more Asian American parents or just Asian Americans out there to, you know, be more outspoken. And, you know, if you have certain thoughts and you have certain projects that you've put off, to just, you know, try to, you know, explore them. Kickstarter is a great way to do that.
My guest is author Jerry Zhang. We're talking about the children's book he wrote. It's called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire. He did it in part to give his own daughters a character they could relate to as Chinese Americans. You're listening to Think. I'm Chris Boyd. I want to go back to the phones now, and this time we will speak with Christina calling from McKinney. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well.
Okay, so my son is also biracial. He's Asian. And I was just curious, are the books going to grow as your daughters grow with them, facing American issues but with an Asian outlook? That was just a question. I know my husband, he tends to think very differently than I do. So just curious how your books can relate that.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping, you know, it's taken me about, you know, almost more than half a year to write this one book. And I'm hoping that the learning curve obviously is now not going to be as steep to put out more books. And I do hope to make more stories out of Pepper Zhang, because I do think it's important to have an iconic, you know, Asian American character for a book that has several books, you know, behind her, kind of like a Fancy Nancy or Eloise or Madeline even, because, you know, that just brings more, I think, strength to the character itself, and just putting her, you know, highlighting her as a important character and somebody worth reading. But I do have plans to write more stories for Pepper Zhang, and I also have a plan to put out a book with a strong male character, because I think that's also something that's missing, to have a male Asian American character portrayed in a brave and courageous light, and not as a meek and just somebody that's very, in their minds and academically smart, but in kind of a brave light, kind of like a Max from Where the Wild Things Are. And I did come up with the name Cooper Lee, brave as can be. And so hopefully that will be in the works soon. But I am a one-person team, publishing house, the author. So I'm hoping I can get these books out before my kids graduate high school even.
There are some stories that have been written, especially in the past, that feature characters of non-white cultures or ethnicities, and they almost, without meaning to, they almost perpetuate stereotypes, right? They are things that are based on, you know, things that happened hundreds of years ago, or often they are written by people who don't come from that culture. I wonder if you had experience with books that were purportedly about Asian American characters when you were little and thought I don't relate to those.
Yeah, you know, especially when I was kind of gravitating more towards the mainstream white culture at the time. Anytime I saw an Asian character, not even in books, you know, they would kind of be the nerdy character in Kung Fu, and those are things I had to bat off as a child growing up. Being associated, or, you know, kids calling me different names, being associated with Kung Fu master, or, you know, delivery person for Chinese food delivery person, or things like that, all those stereotypes. And every time I see a new character that's on TV, on movie, I kind of cringe. You know, whenever there's a Kung Fu movie out, you know, it's like, oh, okay, here we go again. You know, another Kung Fu movie. And I know that Disney's putting out another Mulan movie. And to me, it's kind of like, you know, maybe we can move away from Mulan at this point. You know, it has a strong Asian female character, but it's not, she's not Asian American, and it's, you know, it's based on something historical, and also kind of has a lot of the stereotypical elements, kind of like the animated movie with the dragon and, you know, the ancestors and all that stuff. So I don't think that's pushing the culture forward in terms of showing how we're all alike as Americans, and, you know, again, highlighting how Asians are kind of exotic and different, and, yeah, basically that.
Yeah, I would imagine that word exotic is one you could go the rest of your life without hearing again.
Yes.
I did notice that Pepper Zhang, on one page, she is eating a piece of pizza, and it feels like a really deliberate choice. Is that something that Madison is really fond of?
Yeah, you know, her tastes vary, and there was a period where she loved dumplings, and, you know, it really, you know, nothing was that deliberate in terms of any sort of message. It was more of, you know, again, I wanted to stay true to Madison and what she enjoyed, and, you know, she does enjoy pizza, and there's pizza everywhere, but she also enjoys Chinese food, but at the time, that's an instance where she played a role. I asked her, you know, what do you want Pepper eating? She said pizza. And so there we go. Pepper is eating pizza.
Jerry Zhang's new book for children is called Pepper Zhang, Artist Extraordinaire. Jerry, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker. Shelley Canavy is technical director. Samantha Guzman is associate producer. Jeff Whittington is executive producer. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle is @KERAThink. My Twitter handle is @ChrisBoydThink. You can subscribe to the podcast and find archives and learn more about the show at think.kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.